Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider. Zach, man, we've got a lot to get to. It's finally almost here, I guess. We'll get to the preseason game one tomorrow. But talk to us about what George Payton told Peter King, talking about saying quarterbacks are available more than franchise corners every year. Let's lay that out. Let's discuss. Let's unpack what he said.
Well, Brady, it was bizarre. And, you know, I've understood what George Payton has done, and I've really liked a lot of the moves he's made. But this one was the first really head-scratching one. And it doesn't mean I agree with everything he's done. I would have taken Mac Jones or Justin Fields over Patrick Surtain with where the Broncos were. But this comment is something that is hard to see where he's coming from. Now, yesterday he tried to clarify it by saying that the quarterback position is the most important position in sports. He highly values it. But now what he said was quarterbacks are more available than franchise cornerbacks. And maybe that's true, but that doesn't mean that's right. Because, Brady, we've seen the Broncos be able to find quarterbacks. They've had Joe Flacco. They've had Case Keenum. They've had Trevor Siemian. You can find quarterbacks any year, but just the way it sounds is like he's valuing franchise corners more, and we've seen what that looks like, Brady. We've seen the good defense having great players on defense and not the quarterback. We've seen that the past 5 years, and it gets you 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, 5-11. It gets you picks in the top 10. That's not what the Broncos need. The Broncos have lived that, and I think that comment really set a lot of Broncos fans off and really scared a lot of people, because we've seen what that looks like, Brady, when you value other positions more than the quarterback position. And now yesterday, like I said, George kind of said that's not how he views it, but his actions, you know, kind of back that up this year.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I guess the saving grace for him is that Patrick Surtain, you know, following you along on your Twitter account and everything, I mean, he's tearing it up in camp, and obviously, what will that be? Is he going to be a franchise corner? I mean, don't you think, Zach, that, like, if Justin Fields turns out to be pretty good, even if Surtain's pretty good, people are still going to look back at that and go, wow, we missed on Fields. Surtain has to be like Champ Bailey-esque. He's going to have to come up with some game-changing moments in some absolutely huge games, like playoff games, for fans to feel okay, especially if Justin Fields turns out to be pretty good.
Yeah, it's all going to come down to Justin Fields, because it doesn't matter what Pat Surtain does if Justin Fields pans out, just because of the value of the quarterback position more than the cornerback position. So if Justin Fields pans out, then there's nothing that Pat Surtain could do, and that's not his fault, because I think he can be an all-pro cornerback. You know, watching Champ Bailey and then watching what Surtain's done, there's no reason why he can't be, you know, maybe not as good. I don't want to put those crazy expectations on him, but there's no reason that he can't be an all-pro. What I've seen from him is the player is going to be fantastic. However, the pick, if Justin Fields works out, and reports coming out of Chicago are that, man, he had a slow start to camp, but he is really turning it on. It's going to be something that George Payton is connected with forever if Justin Fields pans out.
Yeah, no question about it. Just like Josh Allen with Bradley Chubb, we'll continue with that. Yeah. Now we're adding them up. We're stacking up these unfortunate comparisons. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. I got a lot to get to. I want to talk about the injuries, but how did everything look with joint practices between the Broncos and the Vikings? Let's start with the most important position at that quarterback spot. Who would you say kind of overall won in their joint practices against the Vikings?
Yeah, Brady, we talked about coming into this week how the Broncos, with the scrimmage that they had on Sunday, then these two joint practices, and then the preseason game coming up tomorrow, just how this is a great opportunity for one of these quarterbacks to really pull ahead and start creating some separation, which we haven't seen yet. And up to this point, Brady, we don't have any separation. I mean, I got to say, this is honestly a worst-case scenario, because Vic Fangio himself said he ideally wants to see one of these guys take the job and run away with it, and we have not seen that. And these joint practices were a great example of that. Teddy Bridgewater comes out the first day and wins the first joint practice. He looks good. Drew Lock struggles. And it's not like Teddy was lighting the world on fire, but he just looked better than Drew Lock, especially with Drew Lock's struggles than yesterday in the joint practice with the Vikings. Drew Lock comes out and doesn't have any mistakes, which is so key. And Teddy Bridgewater comes out and has multiple mistakes in the red zone. So again, Teddy kind of loses the day yesterday because Drew was okay. He was not phenomenal or anything. So Teddy more so loses yesterday. Drew Lock so more so loses Wednesday. And now we're sitting here and hoping that some big separation happens in tomorrow's game. But we know pretty much that no matter what happens tomorrow, the Broncos aren't going to make a decision until after at least the second preseason game, because Vic Fangio has announced that Drew Lock is starting tomorrow and that Teddy Bridgewater is starting the second preseason game. And if you read between the lines, it tells me that they are not close to making a decision. And Brady, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think we're going to get clarity in 10 days from now. I think it's going to be more like 17 days from now after that third game.
So when you look at tomorrow, and again, preseason is so interesting, Zach. It's hard to assess. Even if Drew Lock lights the world on fire, what are we going to say? We're still going to say, well, it's preseason. They weren't giving him all their looks, whatever. But if he struggles in any way, we're going to blow that up. Is it fair to think that maybe tomorrow, if he's awful, could be Drew Lock's last shot?
Man, just because of Vic already saying that Teddy's going to start the second game, I don't think so. I think they're going to take this at least one more preseason game. But the way this sets up, Brady, it doesn't set up good for Drew. And here's why. Drew is going to go against a solid Minnesota defense tomorrow against their ones. Then Teddy Bridgewater is going to come in playing against twos and likely even threes, because I think by the time Teddy Bridgewater is still in the game in the third quarter, which I expect him to be, that Minnesota will have their third string defense. And so it's going to be a lot tougher for Drew to have success tomorrow than it is for Teddy. And then you flip it to next week when Teddy's out there and he starts, he will be going against the Seahawks first team defense, but the Seahawks defense is terrible. So he's going to have a better chance of doing better against the first team defense in his start than Drew is. And then he's also going to have a shot to really carry momentum going against the twos and threes tomorrow. He's going to have a good chance to carry that into momentum going against Seattle's bad defense. And so I just, the way this sets up and being unbiased is, I just think this sets up really well for Teddy.
So what are we looking like in terms of snaps? I mean, is Drew going to get the entire first quarter, the entire first half? What do you think?
I really think we're going to see about a quarter and a half-ish from each of these guys. Now, if Drew goes down in the first quarter and leads a 12-play drive, maybe we'll just see him get, you know, a shorter series at the end of the first quarter and then not see him get much in the second. But I really wouldn't be surprised, Brady, if we're talking a quarter and a half to almost a full half for each of these guys. And that's the way it should be. We don't need to see Brett Rypien. Brett Rypien is not involved in this competition. If he doesn't get any snaps tomorrow, that is perfectly okay with me. I do think we'll see Brett Rypien sometime in the fourth quarter.
Wow. Well, this is going to be, I mean, I'm going to be glued to the television in that first half, and then of course to see what Teddy does. So man, this is crazy. And here we are. We've come up against it. Drew Lock has an opportunity to survive all of it, Zach. We've talked about Aaron Rodgers. We've talked about back when, you know, before we heard all the bad stuff with Deshaun Watson. We talked about Matt Stafford and Justin Fields and the draft and all of that. Drew has an opportunity to start in survival mode and survive all of it. And I guess the third phase of this begins tomorrow night.
And wouldn't that be crazy? And it would just show so much perseverance and show that maybe Drew can survive this season as well, because you're right, he's survived everything up until now. And it's funny because Teddy Bridgewater calls himself the survivor for making it, you know, through so many different teams right now. Maybe Drew will prove that he's the true survivor here.
So if you're Vic Fangio, deep down, I know he's not going to say this, but who's Vic Fangio rooting for in this competition?
I think he's rooting for Teddy Bridgewater, and the reason for that is Vic has such a short-sighted view on this, and that's not anything against Vic.
Sure.
That's how all coaches are in the NFL. You know, they're playing for their three-year contract, which really boils down to like 3 1-year contracts, and so I think Vic wants to see Teddy just show that he's the safe option, because I don't think there's anything that Drew can show in preseason and in this final week of training camp to show Vic, look, I've changed. I'm this safe option now, because Vic's just going to have in the back of his mind, you led the league in interceptions last year. You really killed a couple of the games for us. And I think Vic's not going to be able to get over that. However, with Teddy, there are times in throughout Teddy's career where he's gone and has not had a big streak of interceptions. Now, last year wasn't the best example of that, but Teddy has a bigger background to show that he can be safer with the ball, and that's what Vic wants. Vic wants to win by running the ball and playing good defense and not having the quarterback ruin the game for him. And so that's why I think he just wants Teddy to show what he didn't do yesterday. And what Teddy did yesterday was had multiple interceptions in the red zone. You cannot do that. And if Teddy continues to do that or has a couple more days like that, then maybe they will say, okay, Drew actually surprises us, and he is the safer option.
Yeah, man. Like we said, tomorrow's going to be fantastic. I'm so excited for preseason football, and I mean that. I'm not being sarcastic for once. All right, give us some updates and some other things that have been going on. Had a couple of scares over the week as far as injuries, Mike Boone being one of them, Dalton Reisner being one of them. Can you give us updates there?
Yeah, Mike Boone, it does not look good from people I've talked to. Brady, and that's really unfortunate, because just a couple hours before, George Payton, the guy that knows him better than anyone on the Broncos or in the Broncos organization, he said he's the fastest running back they have, an explosive guy, and that's exactly what I've seen from Mike Boone throughout training camp, is both of those things, and he was very much going to be involved. Now, still waiting on some more diagnosis, but it looks like the quad injury is probably going to be a while. He is not going to play tomorrow. I would be shocked if he did. So not good news there. However, good news revolving Dalton Reisner. He just tweaked his knee. If they decide to play the starting offensive line tomorrow, which I believe they will, then he is going to be the starting right guard or left guard for the Broncos, which is very good. So a big scare that people don't need to worry about. And otherwise, outside of that, health is pretty good right now. You know, you have Tim Patrick on the side, but he should be okay. Just a little tweak groin. And the guy who everyone is keeping an eye on, KJ Hamler, not only is he healthy, Brady, and not only has he been entirely healthy this training camp, but he is looking really good. I mean, he had a 45, 50-yard touchdown pass yesterday and just burned the defense. He is the X factor to this offense. I'm ready to put my stamp on Jerry Jeudy already being the number one receiver for this team. I'm not too worried about Cortland Sutton, especially because he's not going to be relied on to be that number one receiver. But KJ Hamler, if he comes out and he turns into the playmaker that he can be and he stays healthy, then boy, this offense is going to be very fun to watch. Really should be, regardless of what quarterback there is, because the quarterback is just going to have to get these guys the ball and not do anything spectacular.
Hey, just do what Joe Flacco did. Throw it a one-yard pass that turns into an 80-yard pass. I mean, if you can do that,
exactly,
then you're good.
Exactly. And that's the weapons that the Broncos have.
Yeah. Well, and then I'll be curious, too, to see how the year progresses, what that will ultimately mean for Cortland Sutton, who's in a contract year, too. And he's going to want to get paid like a number one guy, right?
It's going to be very interesting, because you have Tim Patrick, who's also on a contract year. And let's say Cortland's asking for $18 million and Tim wants $8 million. That's a huge difference. And yes, is Cortland Sutton the better receiver right now? Of course he is. But do you say we can get another Pro Bowl player with that $10 million of savings, and we think Tim Patrick's a really good number two receiver? That is something that we'll be talking about. Now, to throw this in there as well, George Payton loves Cortland Sutton maybe more than anyone else in the organization. And people in the organization are head over heels for Cortland, and George Payton loves him. So that's just why right now I'm not ready to say that Cortland's going to be gone. But if he's asking for true number one, top five wide receiver money, the Broncos are going to say, we think Jerry Jeudy's the number one receiver on this team, so we're not going to pay you that.
Well, you're right. That's going to be something certainly to pay attention to, along with whatever happens with the quarterbacks, for sure. Zach, before we let you go, our poll question today. Best Kevin Costner baseball movie, Field of Dreams, Boulderham, or For Love of the Game?
Oh, boy. I mean, it's got to be Field of Dreams, right? That was a movie that I grew up on, so easy for me. And, boy, that game last night lived up to everything.
It was so fun. I kind of thought, I was talking about this earlier, it's a gimmick. I don't know if I'm going to be into it. And as soon as Kevin Costner pops out of the cornfield, I'm in, man. I'm falling in love with the game again. Kevin Costner's the greatest actor in the history of the world. I mean, it did live up to the hype.
Man, and just the outfield that was the cornfield was so cool.
Yeah, I loved it, man. Zach, appreciate you, man. We'll be looking out for your Twitter account tomorrow. I know you'll be heavy into a lot of preview stuff, so we'll be following you along the next couple of days.
Yes, right on, Brady. Really appreciate you having me on.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon. That's Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. We'll catch up with him Monday to kind of get his closing thoughts on week one, preseason week one, that is. All right. Hey, reminder, we're going to talk to the best punter in the United States of America. I like to say it like that because it really builds it up. Ryan Stonehouse. Guy is awesome. Great to listen to. Excellent speaker. So we're going to bring him on the show. I mean, special teams for Colorado State is a big deal, and he's a big deal. He has been on the every year he's been on the Ray Guy watch list every single year since he's been with CSU. So he's an NFL guy. He's going to be in the NFL. He'll be a punter at the next level, too. So we're excited to talk to Mr. Stonehouse in the second hour. But first, Colfax, we need to jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.